Hello, everyone, and good morning. Back to our original OG schedule of Saturday mornings. Welcome to the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. I am your host, Sean Hayes. This is episode 290, and we're here to bring you the latest and greatest geeky news of the past week. So yeah, back to our original schedule from when this started 8 years ago. So, I kind of made this decision, like, after being on Wednesday evenings for doing the live broadcast for so long, just with, you know, my son kind of being at the age where I want to do story time when he goes to bed, that kind of conflicted with it. Like, I tried moving it back later in the evening a little bit, but then, you know, it kind of just pushes it too far into the evening. And I was running into the issue where I would have to cover, like, news that would kind of be considered, like, old news because it's, like, the previous week of, like, Thursday, Friday, if anything happened over the weekend. And then Monday, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then, of course, you know, if something big drops, like Thursday or Friday, like the audio podcast goes out, or people might not see this episode, or, you know, if you see the clips on TikTok, you know, then wonder, like, well, why am I being shown old news? So moving into Saturday mornings, figure just do a recap of the past week. Now I can do the whole week in one chunk. I can start collecting stuff on Monday. I don't have to start collecting stuff on Thursday and then having, like, the weekend breaking it up. So, yeah, hopefully this works out for everybody a little bit better. And just doing it first thing in the morning, it's always much easier for me to get stuff done first thing in the morning than it is to try and do it later at night. This also means that if I get back to a point of doing any sort of game streaming, you know, after kiddo goes to bed, that does open up an option for Wednesday evenings. So welcome, everyone. Episode 290. We're closing in on episode 300. That is a huge milestone. I don't know what I'm gonna do, if I'm gonna do anything for it. You know, hopefully I can get something together. Without further ado, why don't we get into this week's news topics? And I forgot to put the logo up. So for live viewers, you're seeing the news topics already. So here we go. All right. So first up, IGN reports that the Microsoft and Activision Blizzard deal, it went through. It's good. It happened, folks. And as part of that, Bobby Kotick, CEO of Activision and garbage human being, will step down as of January 1st, 2024. So we'll be able to ring in the new year with some good cheer on that. Although Kotick will receive at least $390 million in stocks and incentives, the Communication Workers of America Union made a statement. They are buying or viewing the buyout favorably. Like they said, this is a great thing for employees, which I have said before, as Microsoft has committed to remaining neutral with regard to particularly Blizzard's unionization discussions, because it was noted Activision Blizzard, you kind of, even with all of the bad press from the still ongoing lawsuits regarding workplace culture and how toxic and sexist it was, like actively trying to stamp out unionization efforts, which is illegal, by the way. So, yeah, this is, you know, there are concerns about sort of the conglomerization and sort of unification of sort of game studios like under one publisher from a consumer standpoint. That said, any move that gets Kotick out is a net positive. Like, there would have to be a lot of other things wrong for it to not to be a net positive. So, yeah, it went through. As part of the deal, they had to offload, Microsoft have to offload its game streaming stuff to Ubisoft, in Europe. Cause that was part of the whole deal with, England. So, excuse me. Next up, IGN and Game Informer report that Nintendo is once again teaming up with Lego to develop 5 Animal Crossing sets. These will release March 2024. They will feature Isabelle, Tom Nook, Cap'n, and a few villagers. Rosie, Bunny, Marshall, and Julian. I'm a little confused. You know, they could have picked some villagers that are a little more familiar. But, you know, the sets will have a similar structure and sort of feel to the existing Mario and Donkey Kong themed sets. So, like, visually, they kind of have that same design, where it's a lot of, like, these sort of rounded corner flat pieces as your bases for things. You know, all the houses will kind of have that similar look to houses that appear in the Mario and Donkey Kong sets. So, like, if you wanted to connect all of those together, it will have sort of the same visual language across all of them, which I appreciate. You know, I've gotten back into Lego since my parents brought all my old sets back up from their house. So I will likely be picking at least some of these up. And integrating them with my existing Mario sets. Prices will range from $15. So, like, there's basically, like, two sort of cheaper ones, two sort of mid-range ones, and then, like, a really expensive one. The really expensive one is Nook's Cranny and Rosie's House. So it has, like, two houses. That one is $75. It's, I believe the brick count came out to about 535 bricks or 535 pieces. I'd have to double check as to how that compares to other, sets of similar size. You know, and then obviously tacking on a premium because it's like a licensed property. But like it visually feels a little expensive. But I think from the brick count, it's probably about where that price range usually falls. So we'll have to see. But yeah, so $15 to $75 is sort of the price range. So kind of wide, you know, it kind of goes from 15 and then like 25, 30, 35, 75. So again, March 2024. Super whimsical. Really great. Excuse me. And then you get like a Tom Nook and Isabelle and Cap minifigs with their respective sets. So it include like Isabelle goes to visit. Who does she go to visit? I don't know. I don't think it's marked in here. She does like make a house visit. Tom Nook and Rosie come together with their respective houses. Cap'n and Marshall is like a beach scene, and Cap'n's got a little boat. Bunny does like a camping thing, and Julian does like a birthday party set. So, looking forward to those. Really captured the Animal Crossing feel, I think. And they look great. So, and it's Lego. Like, Lego's really hard to dislike, okay? They're just, they're pretty good from what I understand as a company. So yeah. Next up, Eurogamer reports that employees at the Polish development studio CD Projekt Red have formed a union in response to three rounds of layoffs that in total have affected 159 staff members across various studios. Namely, there was, I believe, 39 at a spinoff studio, and then 120 in two separate waves, like 20 in one wave that was working at CD Projekt Red proper on like Gwent, and then 100, which was 9% of the workforce there, in the final wave. So yeah, like imagine losing, we'll round it up, we'll say losing 10% of your employees in one wave. Like that's not great. this union is part of the National Oz IP Union. Membership does not extend to Vancouver-based staff or anyone that is not on a Polish contract. So in order to be this, you have to essentially work at one of the studios proper. Yeah, I'm not familiar with this Oz IP. You know, I'm not sure if it's something similar to like the Communication Workers of America or something like that. But yeah, again, I think we're going to see a lot more of these stories as people just get fed up. And that's great. The article didn't specify which departments, so I don't know if it's just people from all over the company. Because typically in the past, like with Activision Blizzard, we saw it was like QA workers, is what you usually see it as, like people that are sort of in the last portion of it. So yeah, good on them. They also, I guess, good on Oz IP, because they didn't specify like if it was going to be like a chapter of Oz IP or if it's going to be its own distinct union that is also a part of it as like an umbrella organization. So next up, The Verge reports that the Unreal Engine developer Epic is changing the pricing structure of the software for individuals not involved with game development. For example, there are filmmakers and folks in the automotive industry that are using Unreal Engine. So this would be for them, not for game developers. This new structure will move to a per-seat pricing. So like it'll keep its current structure, but you then also pay like per user, essentially. This makes it more consistent with software like Creative Cloud. Unreal Engine will continue to use its current pricing structure for game developers. Educators and students will still be able to use it for free, and indie filmmakers will have some sort of minimum threshold for, I can't remember if it was profit or revenue, before, you know, they have to pay extra or something like that. So, like, this is an example of a pricing structure that I don't think is super predatory, you know? Like, it's still keeping, like, our core audience is game development. If people in other industries want to use this as well, you know, we'll have a pricing structure that's a little more in line with software that's used in those industries. I think that's fine. However, IGN, meanwhile, reports that Epic and Psyonix, this is like a totally different thing, but it involves Epic, will no longer allow item trading in Rocket League to bring the game in line with its other properties that have item shops. The claim is that this will allow Rocket League vehicles to come to other Epic Games, supporting cross-game ownership. This change will go into effect December 5th. I think this is some sort of NFT nonsense. Like, I don't know. Community's up in arms about it. Apparently, this has been like the latest in a slew of unpopular decisions made by Psyonix and consequently Epic in regard to Rocket League. Some users have pointed out like this renders a bunch of achievements, like this will render a bunch of achievements unattainable because they directly relate to trading. So yeah. Yeah. And it's also just like to support cross game ownership. Like what, like I don't understand what other Epic Games in which you would own vehicles that would apply to Rocket League. But also like I don't know, just if you're gonna have it be part of like a collection, just do a scan to see if it's in your collection. Like you already have to do that to unlock the vehicle. So why not just be, if you've had it at any point in Rocket League, it just unlocks it in other games, or just have it be a toggleable thing. Like if you're already going to put in that work, why not put in a little bit of extra work? So yeah, this is most likely a cash grab, to get people to, you know, spend money on these features in Rocket League. So, all right. Next up, The Verge reports that Sony will be bringing cloud-streamed PS5 games to, or cloud streaming to PS5 in various regions throughout October. This is a feature available to PlayStation Plus Premium members. So basically, if you're paying for the most expensive tier of PlayStation Plus, this will be available to you. Japan will be the first region on October 17th, followed by Europe on the 23rd, and finally North America on the 30th. So, unfortunately, for those of you in South America or in Australia and New Zealand, or in Africa, or also Asia outside of Japan. So if you're in, say, Korea or China, Sony has not announced which titles will be available yet, but it will include those from the PlayStation Plus game catalog, digital games players own like Resident Evil 4, Genshin Impact, Fortnite, and trials for games like Hogwarts Legacy and The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. So it will be a quote, select games. So we'll have to see which ones will become available. I would imagine they will probably prioritize like first party titles, I think. I also don't know if it will include titles that like already have game streaming available, like Resident Evil 7. Not sure. So we'll have to see on that. Next up, Polygon reports that Festival of Seasons, a Stardew Valley concert, like chamber concert tour, or a chamber orchestra concert tour, by Soho Live, who typically does these sort of concert tours to do game soundtrack music, will be starting an international circuit on February 17th, 2024. Eric Barone, as many of you know, Concerned Ape, maker of Stardew Valley, announced the tour dates and locations on Twitter. Notably, The tour will include Boston, Massachusetts on February 23rd and New York City on February 29th. Tickets are now on sale. So just for any local folks who might be interested in going, those are the two closest locations. It's a little weird, like they go from Boston to Philadelphia and then back to New York City, which I think is a little bit weird. So yeah, tickets are now on sale. No idea as far as availability. Yeah, might be worth checking out. I do love, Stardew Valley has great music, so this will be, a pretty nice, concert to go see. I don't know how it translates to orchestra. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Finally, last bit of news. The Verge and Game Informer both report that CEO John Riccitiello is retiring, effective immediately. So this was the former EA CEO that went to Unity. Unity's interim CEO, James Whitehurst, is an advisor at Silver Lake, a private equity firm that owns roughly 9% of Unity. So nobody that has this person is not coming from any sort of game development background whatsoever. It's just some sort of investment firm finance bro. And you know what? If I'm wrong, and it does come out that the some sort of tie to the industry, great. this just smacks of this is just a person that works with money, that just moves money around. This comes in the wake of the disastrous pricing fee structure announcement that Unity has since walked back and have instead like announced a rev share model, I believe, according to the articles. So, yeah. Kotick and Riccitiello are done. Although Sony is without Jim Ryan, so now there's thought that, oh no, what if one of them goes over to Sony? I don't think Sony deserves either of them. Like, I don't want terrible people to be at the helm of companies. So give them whatever their severance packages are. Get them out. You know, put somebody in charge that will, you know, make good decisions for both consumers and employees, please. But also, unfortunately, shareholders will come first. So, yeah. Now, a way to combat that is you make employees the primary shareholders. So, that could be an option. But anyway, so yeah. So Riccitiello is out, effective immediately. We'll see who they pick for their next CEO. But again, their interim is just a private equity person. So I don't think we'll see any sort of decisions, big decisions, given how the pricing fee structure went. noted there was no mention of that in the announcement that he's retiring, but that's very clearly the reason. So, and that is sort of our big news items of the past week. So thank you all for joining me. I hope you have enjoyed this news wrap up and it was very topical for you. If anyone's watching live, hope it's not too early for you. But I do like having it on Saturday mornings better. And also, you know, it is a little more convenient for that. You know, there was a small contingent of folks in Europe who were watching streams and stuff. So this is a little more convenient for them. Yeah, that wraps things up. So if you want to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, you can check out the website over at 8bitadventures.com. Over there, you can find comics that I do. Hasn't been updated in a while, but trying to get back on track with that. Comics podcasts. There's a couple streams up there. And if you want to help support this content, you know, on YouTube, like and subscribe, sign up for notifications, do all that stuff. You can give this podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. You can become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. Patrons can support for as little as $1 a month, and that gets you full access to everything. Or rather, it supports everything. There is still some patron exclusive comics, namely, and a couple pieces of like behind the scenes content as well. So, big shout out and thank you to all of the current patrons. Thank you for your continued support. And the opening theme of this is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his work over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. Links to all of these will be in both the video and podcast description for audio listeners. And thanks for just hanging out and listening. So, as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.